Blog Talk Radio.
All right, bless family, bless. Be in truth, powered by the gathering Christ Church. We here, live in Las Vegas. Give me a second here. I'm trying to pull up the Blog Talk Radio here. Oh, man, what number am I calling? Hold on 1 second. Okay. So, back from last week, we talked about Christ and us coming into light from the darkness. Following after our Lord and Savior is very important. How we do it, where we do it, when we do it, in order to be perfect, because he did say, be ye therefore perfect as your Father is in heaven perfect. So what we want to do is follow after his way and only his way. And then we would be delivered. Okay?
There we go.
Okay, we good to go.
There we go.
Okay,
we good to go. Now, where was we at? Let's open up the Bible so we can get started here. All right. Let's go to Matthew. Let's go to Matthew chapter 22. Let's go to Matthew chapter 22.
You hear me clear?
I can hear you clear.
All right, cool. Good.
Hope everyone's doing well on their trip home. Hopefully, you're already home. And you blessed. Had the day off or whatnot. Listening in long distance. Some people are listening in across seas, locally, in another state. We want to praise the Father for y'all also giving us the support. You want to call in? The phone number is 702-650-5588. And you got a comment. Let's hear your comment, or you got a question. Okay. What was I going to say? What I wanted to add tonight was we still on that path to discovering the mystery Babylon. Yes, we are. We're making our way through there to show all our brothers and sisters what the mystery Babylon is. So what we're going to do is we still on that road, but there's some other things we want to take a look at concerning the gospel, and that is Passover. Passover is this week, so we want to touch on how important the Shabbat is, the Shabbat. What are we supposed to do on it? And then we're going into Passover. Okay? Passover being highly important. The Shabbat day is highly important. Today we're going to show why. We will show you the reason why. Okay? So if you got a question or a comment on the Passover and why us Christians keep holy day, holy days. You know, just go ahead and call in 702-650-5588. Okay. So we go on to Matthew chapter 21, verse 30. Let's start at verse 29.
Matthew?
Actually, 31. Let's just start at 31. Yeah.
Matthew. He said chapter
22, verse 31.
All right. You got it?
Yeah, I'm here. Go ahead.
Wait.
Go ahead.
When they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way.
31.
Verse 31?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, verse 31. It says, but if he not read him, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Verse 33. And when the multitude heard this,
you going in and out?
I'm going in and out?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on.
So the Most High said, our Lord and Savior said, I am the God. Have y'all not heard the Most High say, I am the God of the Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Okay, so what does verse 33 say?
Okay, can you hear me good now?
Yeah.
Because verse 33 says, and when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Verse 34, but when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together.
So the Pharisees heard that he put the Sadducees to silence. And this is this is why you hear about Christian debates. And Hebrew debates or debates. Is that when you put somebody to silence, that means their doctrine is inconclusive. You know, no one really can side with it when you put someone to silence. So this is what the Lord and Savior was doing. He was putting people, he was putting groups to silence, groups of them to silence. And the Sadducees were put to silence because they didn't really believe in the resurrection. The Pharisees, however, believed in the resurrection. So the Pharisees were kind of, that's why you hear about Paul believing in, because he was a Pharisee. That's why you hear about Paul believing in, slightly. Well, that's why it was easy for Paul to believe, because he already, he was a Pharisee. So his doctrine was already pulling towards Christ. Okay? So now we're going to keep reading. Let's keep going.
Verse 35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law?
So which is the great commandment in the law? Just wanted to point this out because people believe that the law stops here, where Christ said. And then on top of that, they say, well, the Old Testament law is done away with. Well, the brother that is a Pharisee and a lawyer says, which is the great commandment? He don't say the commandments done away with. He said, which is the great? Which one is the greatest of all the commandments? So let's read that.
Verse 37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love thy Lord, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment.
This is the first and great commandment, right? This is very key, because this is the first and great commandment. And guess where you find this first and great commandment at? In the Old Testament. So this is an Old Testament law. And if brothers and sisters are going to say that the Old Testament law is done away with, well, guess what? You can't keep this one. When you want to say, well, we can't keep the law, well, then you're saying you can't keep this Old Testament law. This is one of the greatest commandments in the law. Go ahead.
Okay. Verse 39. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
So we're going to go now to Deuteronomy, because I got Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. Okay, so we're going to go there, and we're going to show this first commandment. And the second is like unto the other. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And where do you find this? In the Old Testament. So it's pretty interesting on how people claim that the Old Testament laws are done away with when, and then say, well, you know, the first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul. And then when you say you're keeping the commandments, this is one that you're keeping, because it's in the Old Testament. Okay. Now let's go. Let's start with Deuteronomy 6 and 4.
All right, we're coming out of the book of Deuteronomy.
Mm-hmm.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might.
Right? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Ahaya, Shemaya Sha'ala, Alahaya Nawa, Ahaya Achad. Okay? And thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Let's get a few more down here. Go ahead.
Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart.
Mm-hmm.
And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou rises up.
See, the key in one area, they all connect. If you put the pieces together, you'll see that everything's connecting. So if you love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, he said, now what you're going to do is, along with this, Israel, these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. What words should be in thine heart? The words of the law. Because if you read verse 1, read that verse 1.
Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. Now these are the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God command to teach you,
yeah,
that ye might do them in the land whether ye go to possess it.
So the land that you go and possess, you're going to do these commandments. So when you say do all these words and have these in your heart to do them.
But check this out, because this is all commingled with loving the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. So when Christ is actually quoting, an Old Testament law, he's not just quoting one scripture. He's not referencing one scripture. He's referencing the things that have to do with that scripture. The things that have to do with it. It's not just one thing here. It's numerous of things here. What does it say? Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and talk of them when thou sittest in thine house by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And what was happening, brothers and sisters, when we did not do what this law is telling us, to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, and teach these words to our children. And when you sit down in your house, talk about them. When you walk by the way, talk about them. When thou risest up and when thou layest down. Read that next verse.
Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 8. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and thou shalt be a frontless between thy eyes. These laws shall be binded as a sign upon thy hand. Frontlets. They should be on your frontlets between thine eyes. And read the next one. Verse 9. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates.
And brothers and sisters, they say this is done away with. Why? Why is it done away with? This is nothing but positive reinforcementiness. But they say this is done away with. Why? What did the Old Testament law do to you? Correct you? Give you light on how not to operate? Yeah, so if that's the case, then yeah. You know, of course you would come up with a reason on not to do them. Because it gives you less liberty. Okay? We have liberty in Christ. Don't get us wrong. We do got liberty. But we don't have liberty to go against God. That is the last liberty that's given unto us. Okay? So now let's go to Matthew 21, 12 through 16. Then we go on into the Shabbat. Then we go on into Passover and how that's important. Matthew 21, chapter 12 through 16. Go ahead.
Matthew chapter 12, chapter 21, verse 12. And Jesus went unto the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves.
So if y'all ever seen Christ mad, there you go. This is one of them. He has different emotions. Love also includes to be mad, to be angry, to be upset, to cry. Okay, love includes all of that. Go ahead.
Verse 13, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves.
So, as y'all could tell, in today's society, they have made the houses of God, we can just say the book of God, a money-making device.
Right.
A money-making device. And now the houses of God are filled with thieves, people that rob others for a prosperity movement. Well, we're here, brothers and sisters, to put everyone back on the page of God, on the page of the great Ahaya Ashar Ahaya. Go ahead. Verse 14. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple,
mm-hmm.
and he healed them.
Mm-hmm.
And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased.
That's right. Okay, so what's going on now? The chief priests started seeing the young in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna to the Son of David. Crying in the temple. Singing in the temple. Because they seen the Lord and Savior himself. And what the chief priests and scribes do? Read the next verse.
Verse 16. And said unto him, hearest thou what these say?
Hey, Christ, do you hear what these young children say? Are you not going to correct them? Are you not going to correct these young children that's going around saying Hosanna to the Son of David? We're going to get you, Roger, in 1 second after we finish this verse. Go ahead.
And Jesus saith unto them, yea, have ye never read out of the mouth of babes?
Have you never read out of the mouth of babes what?
Suckling, thou hast perfected praises.
Thou hast perfected praises. Where is the perfect praise going to come from? Out of the mouth of the babes. And brothers and sisters, the babes have the chance to reanalyze all religions. Okay? The babes have the chance to reanalyze all religions. And we, the babes, have found out that the Bible is the only way. Christ is the only way, the truth, the way, and the life. No man get unto the Father but by him.
Right.
And if he is perfect, brothers and sisters, so shall we be. If he was sinless, brothers and sisters, so shall we be. That's why we practice, as disciples of Christ, righteousness, to keep the law. Okay? Let's go to Roger, line 4. Bless, Roger. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing all right. Yeah, I just want to give my opinion, you know?
Bless.
You know, people don't realize that the devil has deceived them. You know, for every word of God, the devil is a beautiful counterfeit. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
You know, when Jesus Christ said, when he debated with Satan in my temptation, Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that pushes out of the mouth of God. Now, what word that pushes out of the mouth of God? The Ten Commandments.
That's right. That's right.
People, every word of God, the devil is God. People don't know how the devil works. So you have to know your enemy.
That's right. Know thy enemy, yep.
It's like, then I said, well, he fought Japan. They started the Japanese. That's the way they conquered the Japanese.
Mm.
See, people don't have the knowledge about the devil.
Mm.
And the Bible says, commandment, and shall teach men so, the same shall be called the least in the kingdom. But whoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of God.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah, you know, that's how it is. See, the devil are wise. The Bible said he was very cunning.
Yes.
No, he believed one third of God's angel because he was very articulate with his word. That's why God did not create the devil. It's a devil that they became devil because of going against God.
Yep, that's right. And he would deceive the earth into believing. I watched a YouTube video. He said that the devil is going to do three things. But the one of the greatest things that I can't remember, the number one thing on the list was make the earth believe that he does not exist.
There you go. That's what he is. He's so cunning. Look how he deceived Eve. He didn't come as how God described how the devil looked like. He used a serpent.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. After sorry for all the Christians says that they're saying that the law has been abolished. No, it cannot be abolished.
It can't be.
No.
Okay.
It's of sin. That means if the law has been abolished, you don't need to repent of your sin anymore.
Oh, man.
That's how I see it.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you don't need to repent of your sin anymore. It's because it's been abolished. That's what it means. When you look in the dictionary, you look at the word abolished, it has nothing to do anymore.
That's right.
Yeah. I don't want to take all your time. I want to listen some more, you know.
Bless. Appreciate it. Bless.
All right.
Appreciate
it,
Roger. Have a blessing. Okay, so now let's go to Exodus chapter 20. Now that he talked about the Ten Commandments, because it'll take you back to a child. A father going to tell you what to do and how to do it. He's going to give you instruction. So if you got a heavenly father, you're going to have law. You're going to have morality. If you have no law, you have no morality, guess what? You have no father. What does the scripture call those that have no father? A bastard. Okay? So we're not going to be, if we're going to be children of the Most High God, the creator of all things, if we're going to be children of him, then let's carry ourselves like so. But how do we become like him? Actually, hold that. Get Matthew 5 and 40. Let me see. Matthew 5 and 48. Matthew 5 and 48. So holding that Exodus. So how? Because there's a synchronicity that we must have with the Father. We must be in sync. You have to understand why the holy days exist. Why do they exist, brothers and sisters? There is a synchronicity between the heavens and the earth. The whole earth, brothers and sisters, on the Shabbat day, the whole heavens on the Shabbat day is supposed to what? Rest. Men, women, and children. This is not a Moses law. This is a law from the beginning. These holy days are written in the heavenly realm, the heavenly tables. They're written in the stars. Go ahead.
This is the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 48.
This is red letters, Christ speaking. What is he saying?
Be ye perfect. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect.
Is he asking us, brother?
No.
Is he requesting us, brother?
No.
Is he commanding us, brother?
Yes.
We have to be perfect. We have to be perfect. Go ahead.
Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect.
So Christ being perfect, he gave the example. We going back to the Old Testament because he, a sinless man, in order to be sinless, he had to do what? Keep the law. So we might not be sinless, but we surely are going to strive to do so. We're going to love our neighbors as ourselves, all the families of the earth, as we described every family for our radio listeners. We described each one being in each region, who the Europeans are, who the Asians are, who the Africans are, and who the Aborigines of America are. Okay? We've described, we haven't got down to all of them, but we got down to enough of them. We'll say that. So we've described that. You must love them all. That is a commandment in the Bible. Okay? Let's go to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8. What does that say?
Exodus chapter 20, verse 8.
Uh-huh.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
Remember Sunday.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. remember Easter Day, the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. What are we doing the Sabbath day? Read the next verse. Verse 9. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord, of Moses, of the Lord, of Nehemiah, of the Lord, of the gathering of Christ Church, of the Lord, go ahead, thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. This is talking about physical work, brothers and sisters. Go ahead. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy maidservant, nor thy manservant, nor thy cattle. Even the cattle know not to do no work. Go ahead. Nor thy stranger. But we make them do work. We cause them to work when we're not supposed to. If the Sabbath day is of the Lord thy God, and remind you, Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath. So who, what Lord and God is this talking about? It's talking about Christ, the Son of God. Go ahead. Nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. Strangers aren't supposed to work. Even though they got the strangers continuing to work, they're making them work, the children of Israel. Go ahead. Verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, is, and rested the seventh day.
He did what on the seventh day?
Rested the seventh day.
Go ahead.
Wherefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it.
See, it's a holy day. He didn't hallow Sunday. He didn't hallow Monday. Then you got people who say, well, you know, every day is holy. Like, what kind of, who declared that every day was holy? See, that's what man do. Man turn around and make a unclean, I call it an unclean day, a holy day. Read it again.
Wherefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it.
And hallowed it, made it holy. When did he, see, Moses didn't make it holy. Oh, well, that's Moses' law. All right, hold on a second. What happened? Why would, I'm telling you, but brothers and sisters, do y'all know they was in the Old Testament saying the same thing? Moses can't give us a law. You know, I'm better than Moses. I got this. I got that. You know, then you got Korah, who ended up, and his crew, getting swallowed up because they're trying to be priests too. The whole earth swallowed them up. And they fell. There's some records that say they fell for a year and a half. Wherefore, the Lord, our God, whose name is Ahiah, blessed the Sabbath day. So who got you going to Sunday? Because it's not Christ. Christ didn't say go to church on Sunday. Paul didn't say go to church on Sunday. Peter didn't say go to church on Sunday. So what do? You say, well, don't judge me. You can't judge me. Listen, brothers and sisters, we're not doing that. But what we are saying is, when the judgment comes, guess what? You're going to be found guilty. Why be found guilty on an opportunity when you could be found innocent? The Lord thy God says, out of Samuel's mouth, it is better to obey than to be forgiven. It is better to obey than to be forgiven. It is better to obey than to offer sacrifice. Why is the Sabbath day so important? Leviticus chapter 23. You stay there, Art. Leviticus 23. Okay. Leviticus 23 and 1. 1 and 2. Then we're going down to the Passover. 1 and 2 and 3. Oh, Passover is right after that. So let's just keep rolling through. Go ahead.
Leviticus 23, starting at verse 1. And then people come up with an excuse like, oh, well, you know, we on a whole nother calendar. How do you know Saturday is the holy day? Well, the beautiful thing is, brothers and sisters, we have the books that reveal to us what day is which. So we only operate on the Gregorian calendar because we only operate on the Gregorian calendar, you know, due to the fact that we go to work on the Gregorian calendar. But when it comes to spirituality, and to be spiritual, we got God's calendar. And guess what? God's calendar is 364 days out of the year. Did you hear what I said? God's calendar is not 365 days and 365.1467. No, that's not his calendar. His calendar is 364 days. Comes on the same day. It starts on the same day every year. Starts on the same day. Each season starts on the same day every year. 364 days. If you divide that by 7, guess how many weeks you got in there? 52 Sabbaths, okay? 52 weeks, exactly. Each season has a 3-month period. You have one, what they call intercalary day for each season. So that 364 days, if it didn't have any intercalary days, if it didn't have intercalary days, guess what? You got 360 days of the year. A complete circle or cycle. Why are these days important? Why is the holy day important? Because what is going on, again, is that the heavens and the earth is in sync with the Most High God. And when you don't be in sync, when you are not in sync, you lose the ability to be connected with God. If there is a sound system and you heard boom, 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 okay? That was probably a bad beat, but I don't know. That's what came to mind. And you come in the room and you're not in sync and you just start dancing and celebrating and stuff like that, people are going to be looking at you like, hold on, you need to be on beat. Well, that's how the angels are looking at us when we say the law is done away with. That's how the animals are looking at us when we say the law is done away with. The earth testify against us when we say the law is done away with. Can y'all understand that we are on the verge of a new heavenly kingdom coming down, and we have to be in sync in order to get in that kingdom? We have to practice it now and not end up practicing it later. Go ahead.
Leviticus chapter 23, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them concerning the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations. The feast of who? Of the Lord. The feast of the Lord. These are the feast of the Lord. Go ahead. Which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations. Even these are my feasts.
verse 3. 6 days shall work be done. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord.
It is the Sabbath of who?
Of the Lord.
It is the Sabbath of the Lord.
In all your dwelling.
In all what?
Your dwelling.
In everyone's dwelling, it should be the Sabbath. In everyone's dwelling. So we all should have knew, once the devil started taking away the Sabbath day, in which he did, we got records where he had his people killing the children of Israel because they wanted to keep the Sabbath day. And don't believe that it ain't happening today. Because we got people on the radio saying, what you can't do. We got people in churches telling you what you can't do. Telling you it's impossible to keep the Sabbath day holy. How? He only asked us to stop working and to have a holy convocation. How hard is that? Who made God's word so difficult? Oh, well, I work on Saturday. Okay. You know, that's cool. I'm glad you're taking care of your family. That's great. But what you should do is just ask for the day off. Or work hard so you can get the days off if you're not a hard worker. Or work to have a position where you have the day off. It's very simple, brothers and sisters. This isn't, you know, a hard thing to do. He's just asking you to do no work.
Well, I think also that some people make an excuse when it comes to the Sabbath or Saturday. Because when it comes to Sunday, they can make that. They get that day off. They do what they got to do. But when it comes to what the scriptures say about the Sabbath day, now it's an excuse. It's too hard.
Yeah.
But it's not too hard for the day that you want.
Yeah.
But it's too hard for the day that the Most High wants.
Yep. Yep. So now we're going to move into the feast that the Lord created. The Sabbath day is also a feast. So that's a day that we're supposed to come together and feast. The days that we all want to barbecue and, you know, come together and see. If we were doing what God told us to do, we would be having fun. But instead, we want to get together and we want to argue, fuss, and fight. And it's not about spiritual things. We only argue and fuss and fighting because what? We're not being spiritual. And we claim our spirituality is the Bible, but the only way to get the spirit from the Bible is reading the Bible and doing what the Bible says. Go ahead, let's read it.
Leviticus chapter 23, verse 4. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons. In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover.
The 14th day at even is the Lord's Passover. The 14th day, brothers and sisters, at even is the Lord's Passover. So when is this? This is actually 5 days from now. 5 days from now. And we're going to reveal our calendar, our 364-day calendar. We will. All y'all, you can have some scriptures on deck for that. Enoch and Jubilees on 364 days.
Yep. You know what you mean.
All right. Go ahead. Read that verse 6.
All right. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 6. And on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread.
So we're supposed to be without leaven in our homes. We have to take the leaven out of our homes. When does this start? The 15th day, which is this Saturday at sundown. sundown to sundown, Saturday night to Sunday night. That's how the days are in the Bible. Days don't start at 12 o'clock. Days don't start at 12 o'clock. They don't end at 12 o'clock. They start when the sun goes down and to the sun goes down. From the 14th day to the 15th day, well, the 14th day is the Passover, where you would have the lamb, okay? You would have the lamb in the afternoon of Saturday. This is the 14th day, okay? The 15th day is Saturday sundown to Sunday sundown. This is the day that you get all the leavening out of your homes, okay? Verse 7.
In the first day you shall have an holy convocation.
Mm-hmm.
You shall do no servile work therein.
We shall do no servile work therein. It is also a Sabbath day. And if you notice, the 14th day is Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. The 15th day is Saturday sundown to Sunday sundown. So those days are holy days where we have a holy convocation. Yes, that requires driving or walking or catching the bus to a holy convocation. Okay? It does require that. We try not to spend no money. We try not to have people work. This is servile work. This is city work. Things you would do to make money. He's not talking about other kinds of work like healing people. Okay? That is it on that. Okay? You want the in-depth understanding on Passover? You'd have to go into Exodus chapter 12, where Pharaoh's, the descendants of Ham and the inhabitants of the land of Ham and or slash Egypt, the house of bondage, the firstborn was all destroyed, and then we was delivered. So now, where are we going to go first, Aria? Let's do Jubilees.
Excellent. Can you hear me good?
Yeah. Let's do Jubilees to show that the Lord's day is 364 days.
All right, good. All right, so, okay, here. Be clear, right?
Mm-hmm.
Book of Jubilees, chapter 6. Okay, and this is ordained. This is what was shown to our forefather Moses. All right, we're in the book of Jubilees in chapter 6, and we're going to read down in verse 30. I'm going to read it. It says, and all the days of the commandment will be 250 weeks of days. That's 52 weeks. And these will make the entire year complete.
This will make the entire year complete. It's the same cycle every year. There's no leap year. Now, imagine that. God creating a calendar or days of the years where it has to leap. An imperfect calendar. Well, we got to go. We got to jump up a day. No, well, we got to come back 4 days. We got to switch around, create a whole other month. It got to be 13 months. Then we got to come back to 12. And y'all have to forgive us because some people say, oh, yeah, you guys are going too hard, too tough, and talking too mean. And, well, come on. Come on, brothers and sisters. What's really happening here is how the prophets was in Israel and everyone around them was doing the wrong thing, and that all they could do was yell and scream because oppression make a wise man mad. You can't tell me, you can't show me a prophet where they hugged everyone and kissed everyone on the cheek, touched somebody and just made them shake on the ground, and didn't correct all their sins. Tell me Christ wasn't doing that, because that's what we just read. How he went into the temple and threw tables on top. Christ wasn't correcting people. An austere man. Okay? So, yeah, when we get on here, brothers and sisters, we bring it just like the prophets did. Sometimes we bring it a little softer. And why we got to bring it like this, too, is because Easter ain't got nothing to do with Christ. We figured that out when we were children. When it was like, here goes a bunny. Here goes some eggs. Bunnies don't lay eggs. We figured that out when we were children. Go ahead.
All right. So we still in the book of Jubilee, continuing on. It says, thus it is engraven and ordained on the heavenly tablet, and there is no neglecting this commandment for a single year or from year to year.
Don't neglect this commandment, because if you go off of this calendar, you will be okay. But when you lose this calendar, guess what? You're going to be in church on Sunday. You're going to be in there on Sunday. When God didn't even say go to church on Sunday. None of the disciples said go to church on Sunday. Then you're going to be like, well, every day is holy. When God didn't make every day holy. He made one day holy. He made the holy days. He made the days holy and not holy. Go ahead.
Verse 32 says, and command thou the children of Israel that they observe the years according to this reckoning, 364 days, and these will constitute a complete year, and they will not disturb its time from its days and from its feasts.
Mm-hmm.
For everything will fall out in them according to their testimony, and they will not leave out any day nor disturb any feast.
Mm-hmm. Nor disturb any feast. Why are we reading out of the book of Jubilees? Well, we read out of these books because we don't want our own understanding. We don't want another man's understanding. We want the understanding from God himself.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
We want the understanding from God because there's many men, there's many doctrines, but there's only one book. And that's what's the blessing. That we got one book that describes everything. We got one book that gives us the mysteries of God. 364-day calendar. Is that it on that?
Yep, for right in there, yep. That's it. That's good right there.
Okay, so we got 2 minutes until we go to break for 4 minutes. You want to call in? 702-650-5588. While these 2 minutes are going by, we're going to go to Acts, and we're going to get that Easter scripture. We're going to get that Easter scripture and just give this quick definition. What scripture was that? Acts. Where was that?
It's Acts 12.
Acts chapter 12.
Yep. We'll go to chapter 12 real quick.
Acts chapter 12 and verse 3. We got 1 minute, so let's read that real quick. 12 and verse 3.
It says, and because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also.
Oh, that's it. So we gotta go to break. All right, family, we're going to come back. We're going to answer this call, Brother Tom. And once we get back, we'll further explain this Easter part right here. All right, so you all be blessed. Listen in the next 30 minutes.
Okay. Reconnected, and now. Yeah, we on break, family. Give us 1 second as we.
But I'll just KKVD in Las Vegas.
KKVV Las Vegas. When you lose power for a whole day due to a storm, it can seem endless. But there's a new kind of storm brewing, one that could target our nation's power grid and turn off the power not just for days, but months, or even longer. Would you be prepared? Veteran news anchor Ted Koppel's new book, Lights Out, details this exact scenario. It's why many American generators to provide an endless supply of life-saving electricity without gas, fumes, or noise. When it comes to lightweight and powerful solar generators, the breakthrough Patriot Power Generator 1500 has it all, providing up to 1500 continuous watts of clean, quiet, and free renewable solar power. You'll be able to power heat and lights, preserve food, recharge cell phones and computers, and keep critical medical devices going day after day, all from rechargeable solar power. If a blackout strikes, be protected with the power you need when you need it most. The Patriot Power Generator 1500. For all of the details, just go to blackout26.com. That's blackout26.com. Blackout26.com.
Are you winning or losing in the game of life? Do you even know where to find the rules of the game? There are things you do that make life work and things that cause it to come apart. I'm Ronald Dart. Tune in for Born to Win every morning, Sunday through Friday at 7, right here on AM 1060 KKVV. And we'll talk or visit us online at borntowin.net.
The views and opinions on the following program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of KKVV Las Vegas.
This is the Hour of Spirit and Truth. This is Deacon Balas of the Gathering of Christ Church. Luke chapter 4, verse 18 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Let's do what God sent us for on KKVV Las Vegas.
All right, so at chapter 12, Acts chapter 12, verses 3 and 4. I mean, Brother Thomas, if you want to call back in, we'll pick you up right now.
All right, so this is the book of Acts, chapter 12, verse 3. And it reads, "And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also.
Then were the days of unleavened bread." So you notice Passover is the same time around Easter. Not that they were celebrating Easter, they were celebrating Passover. Just like they were celebrating Easter, we were celebrating Passover. The disciples, like they were doing first fruits, they also did Passover. Just like how they were doing first fruits, they also did tabernacles. Just like they were doing tabernacles, feast of dedication.
one after another, one after another, one after another. Read this next verse. This is the book of Acts, chapter 12, verse 4. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people.
Intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. So he was going to bring Peter forth unto the people. Now, this doesn't mean that they were celebrating Easter. Okay? So if we look up this word Easter in Greek, you'll see that it is Pesach and or Passover. What makes this so interesting is, where did Christ say keep Easter? Where did Peter say keep Easter? Easter was a time of the year. That's it. That the pagans were celebrating. What is a pagan? Those who have many gods. Those who have many gods. Not that, you know, the righteous were into it. It was just the time of the year where the pagans got together to celebrate the fertility of the season, which is spring. Spring represents fertility. Why? Because when you see the plants, when you see the trees, they begin to spring, as in bring forth fruit. As in bring forth fruit. They begin to blossom. They begin to blossom. Okay? So when we're talking about Easter, we're talking about what? Bunnies and eggs and fertility. Because that's what bunnies represent. That's why you have the Playboy bunny. Playboy bunny. That's why you have the egg, which is the ovary of a woman. Bunnies don't lay eggs. So why do they have the children searching for bunnies and eggs?
And there's nowhere in the scriptures.
Okay, y'all hear me?
Mm-hmm.
All right, good. I want to share something right quick.
Mm-hmm.
Because you made a very key point. And most people don't understand that, you know, the time of Easter. Well, two things. The reason that we see the word even Easter here is because the New Testament, which is written by Hebrews, was written in the Greek language, which was common at the time. It was the language of intercourse amongst the people. And so they used this phrase because that was the language of intercourse. You understand? Or the language that's common, Koine Greek. But it still goes back to the root of Passover. Now, when we kept Passover as a people and as a nation, okay, right after that is when they kept their time of Easter. But again, it has nothing to do with what we observe. Easter is not ordained by the Most High or Christ that we should keep. And even when you say, you know, what is this whole Easter and bunny and all these things have to do? The correlation, I know it's an old phrase, but you have a lot of people say humping around like a jackrabbit.
Mm-hmm.
All these things, you know, these sayings, these proverbs and stuff, they have their derivatives from these pagan holidays.
Mm-hmm.
But it was not ordained by the Most High.
Yeah.
You have to differentiate.
And us being Christian, us that call ourselves Christian, followers of Christ, if you'll be so, then why have you created your own ways of worship?
Mm.
Why? You have made God's law vain, and traditions of men you have upheld.
Mm-hmm.
Traditions of men you've put up rather than your own God.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
There was a scripture that came to mind when you're sitting there and we're talking about, you know, the holy days and everything. And this is in Ecclesiastes, one of our good books of wisdom. I'm just going to read this right here, about three verses, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's in chapter 33, and it says in verse 7, why doth one day excel another, when as all the light of every day in the year is of the sun? It's that is posing the question. Now the answer is that it says, by the knowledge of the Lord, they were distinguished. So when we grow in the knowledge of Christ, who is our Lord and Savior, we see all the way back in the old times the days that were distinguished from the Father. Then it says, and he also sees whom he sees. So the same peace that we are reading here in Leviticus, this is ordained by the Lord, and we grow in the knowledge of the Lord, so we grow in the understanding of him. Then it says in verse 9, some of them as he made high days, which are the days we read of in Leviticus, and hallowed them, just like he did the Shabbat. And some of them has he made ordinary days. But see, what Satan has done is take people that say they believe in the Most High out of the scriptures completely and have given them holidays. And man made high days, per se.
Yeah.
And people have just left off from the sanctified and hallowed holy days of the scriptures. Total confusion.
Let's go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 18.
Let no man beguile you of your reward.
And we're talking about salvation. Salvation is our reward. Let no man beguile you. Let no man talk you out of your reward. Go ahead.
Let no man beguile you out of your reward. In a voluntary humanity and worship,
humility
and worshiping of angels.
Humility, voluntarily, you're voluntarily humbling yourself to worship angels. So who is Easter? Easter is Ishtar. Who is Ishtar? A goddess of fertility. Just go look it up. Easter, Ishtar, goddess of fertility.
Yep.
It's very simple. All addition to, you know, how you would live your life. They have our preachers and our pastors and those that lead and guide us have humbled us into worshiping angels when we could be worshiping our God. Well, let's go to church on Sunday. See, if it's not in the Bible, then guess what? It got something to do with voluntarily humbling yourself to worship another angel. Sunday. Sunday worship. You want to call in? 702-650-5588. If you wish to call in. We have been humbled to worshiping angels. Sunday worship. What day is that? You doing? You're worshiping the sun on Sunday. S-U-N. Not S-O-N. S-U-N. Again, the devil came into the mix and said, hey, God doing his on the first, on the seventh day. Well, guess what? I'm going to do mine on the first day. Y'all going to worship me on the first day. Commandment by him. Let's go to the book of Enoch. Let's get that that a year starts, you know,
mm-hmm.
when the year starts.
All right. That's it. You know what? Real profound. You said this earlier, and I wanted to chime in. And when we were reading about how we should rehearse these things for our children, right?
Mm-hmm.
The problem has happened, especially amongst us as a nation of people, is that we don't talk about the Most High. We don't talk about the scriptures like we should.
We can't.
We know this shit. But every other nation, they rehearse their folk tale and their mythology to their children. And the children are real big on it. They can tell you about Zeus. They can tell you about Hercules. They can tell you about all these mythological gods, but we that are supposed to nourish our children in the scriptures and let them know about the God of all gods in truth and in righteousness, you don't do it.
I'm glad you said that, because our whole environment restricts us from even talking about God. We can't talk about God at work, can't talk about God at home, can't go to school and talk about God. They refuse to talk about God at school. You go to the doctor, guess what? God is all out the mix. The doctor is the God. So I hear exactly what you're saying, because they didn't took God is almost all out the way. You can't even go to court no more and see the actual Ten Commandments. God is all out the mix now. What's the next thing they're going to do? Because if God out the mix, that means the devil got room to play. And what's he going to do? I'm going to put my statue up over here, which they recently did. Where they do that at? I think it was St. Louis. I believe it was St. Louis. They put up a devil statue. Now they teaching homosexuality in the school in California. See, you take God out, guess who's going to put themselves in? Man. Let's get that Enoch.
All right. So we're in the book of Enoch, right? And now, this to paint the picture here so people can understand. So the scripture tells us that the things of the Most High are clearly seen by the things of the Creator. So we know that now the season has changed, right? We start experiencing a lot more daylight time, right? And the days get longer, the nights seem to be shorter. Well, this is in the scripture. But see, because of man flip-flopping the time and saying, oh, daylight saving time, you know, 3-4 an hour, then in the fall back an hour. They're doing that to confuse you because they don't want you to be able to count, like just said the scripture here, about how the day becomes longer and shorter as the seasons change, which is perfectly annotated in the scripture. So we're in the book of Enoch, okay? We're in chapter 72, and I'm going to just jump right on into it, okay? I'm going straight through verse 8. It says, when the sun rises in heaven, he comes forth through that fourth portal 30 mornings in succession and sets accurately in the fourth portal in the west of heaven. So you might say sun rising, the east sets there in the west. This is scripture. And during this period, the day becomes daily longer and the night nightly shorter, the 30th morning. And on that day is longer than the night by a ninth part, and the day amounts to exactly 10 parts, and the night to 8 parts. So what you have now, which is what we experience, is that the seasons change, and the hour of daylight change also. So the daylight hours is longer. And if anyone would want to try to count it, if you look at from the time the sun comes up, you can see light, so when it goes down, you'll see there's a lot more hours. It just seems like the day gets longer, all the way up until what we know is summertime.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, and real quick, you got right. This. What Enoch is explaining, he's explaining this about the sun. If those of you who wake up early and check out the sun, and or remember when you was young, you look different times of the year that you see the sun come up in different areas. Sometimes you'll see it more southern. Sometimes you'll see it more northern. Sometimes you see it differently depending on the time of year, on how long the sun will stay up. Well, also what you'll see too is every morning the sun comes up in a different place. This is what I mean by portals. There is portals that the sun comes up and goes down in different areas of, you know, the heavens. So when it goes down on the west, it's going through a portal. And shoot, it'll come in on the east in another portal. Just try it. Wake up tomorrow morning early, watch the sun come up. Do it again the day after tomorrow, which would be Wednesday, or Wednesday, and see how the sun comes up in a whole different area. Well, it just so happens that the days are not based on the sun per se, but the time that the sun stays up and the sun goes down is, you know, it's telling us, well, this is how long the days are. So if you get on a website and you go check out, you know, there's a military website. Or you can get on Google, just regular Google.
It's called McCorrelatory.com. Now, I think they had took some of this stuff down, but McCorrelatory.com is what it's called.
Yeah, so, you can get on Google and just type in sunrise. And you'll see the even day and even night when the sun sets. And it just so happens that even day, even night always ends on the same day of the year. Friday night, it ends on a Friday night. So the last day of the year is Friday night to Saturday night, the seventh day. Then you go back to the first day, and then you got your first day of the year. Go ahead, Ot.
All right. So now I'm going to read. I'm going to continue here. We in verse 11. The read says, and the sun rises from that fourth portal, same thing you were saying, and it sets in the fourth and returns to the fifth portal of the east 30 mornings and rises from it and sets in the fifth portal. So if you track it like Google is saying, and you look at it for about 30 days, you're going to see it rise in different areas, and then it's going to appear. Okay? And it does this. Now, once it traverses this course, it says, and it returns to the east and enters into the sixth portal and rises and sets in the sixth portal 1:30 mornings on the account of its time, which means that after the 3 months of it doing this, when it comes to the 31st morning on that third, the 13th week, per se, because every season has 13 weeks, it's a season change, like how you got spring now. 13 weeks from now, you're going to get summer. And then you're going to get the other season. So that's how it goes through. That's where the intercalary days come in, because there's 4 days for each season. You know how they say a complete circle is how many degrees? What? 360. Well, you get the extra 4 because there's 4 seasons in a year. So you put those into the intercalary days that changes, and you get a complete cycle of year according to the Most High.
And see, if we was on this calendar, if we kept the Sabbath day holy and we was on this calendar, we on the same calendars as the heavens,
mm-hmm.
as the stars above, as the sun. And we all agree in one. 702-650-5588. You got a question? Oh, we got 5 more minutes.
Mm-hmm.
702-650-5588. Go ahead.
Okay.
Oh, keep sneezing. It's the new year. We're in the new year, in spring. So if you got allergies, you're going to be sneezing. Then you really know it's the new year.
All right, yeah, you not there? Yeah, okay, go ahead.
New Year's, right?
Yeah.
Now, this is where it lets us know right here. It says, and on that day the sun rises from that portal and sets in the west and returns to the east and rises in the third portal for 1:30 mornings and sets in the west of heaven. On that day the night decreases and amounts to 9 parts and the day to 9 parts. And the night is equal to the day and the year is exactly as to its day, 364. And the length of the day and of the night, and the shortness of the day and of the night arise through the course of the sun, these distinctions were made. So that's where we understand and we know that that is the midpoint of the year and basically the end of the year and the beginning of a new one, when it is a perfectly equal split. Just like if you were to get a cookie and break it directly in the middle, you're going to have two equal halves. That's how the Most High divided the day. So that's how we know. And it's all written here in Scripture.
Yep, so our last 3 minutes. So again, you know, let's go to Exodus chapter 32. We're going to get this one in real fast. Exodus chapter 32. We're going to start at verse, I think it's verse 10. So now 31 in verse 10. 31 in verse 14. Let's read that. I'll read real fast. Speak thou unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord, that thou sanctify you. So to keep these holy days is to be sanctified. If you're not keeping these holy days, how are you sanctified? Ye shall keep the Sabbath day, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Every one that defileth shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Lord is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath day to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. The perpetual means a forever covenant. So, old and new covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel for how long? Forever. Go read Exodus 31, 14 through 18. Forever, for 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. So praise the Father, brothers and sisters. This is the Most High word. This is what we're riding on. We pray everyone is what goes by it. High by Shem Shire, Barak Atta.
Thanks, family, for listening in. This is the Gathering of Christ Church, the Hour of Spirit and Truth. You can contact us at 331-442-4622 or go to gatheringsofchrist.org. Tune in next week at 5 p.m. We're on every Monday. Again, the Hour of Spirit and Truth. Remember, higher is God's name, glorified. Shalom.
Watchmen on the Wall from Southwest Radio Church can be heard here on KKBB Monday.